Beautiful. Church, you ready for a great day? I know I am. Great to see every one of you. Let's give it up for everybody who's online right now, too. Love you, online family. And everybody in additional seating, we see you excited about what God has in store for all of us. Hey, if you're ready to roll today, because I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm excited about God's word and how we're going to grow and develop today. If you are with us for the first time, you need to know we already have your back. We love you. We're for you. We're in your corner. You don't have to have it all figured out. I still don't have it all figured out. But today, we are going to grow together and become more of who God has called us to be. So I want you all to say this. Say, today, give us eyes to see. Ears to hear, hearts to receive, and a mind to understand all that God has for us. Come on, you guys ready for today? You ready? I am. Let's go. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's start reading in verse number 15. We're going to jump into this because we got to get to that Mavs game. We got to see the Mavs beat the Clippers today. It's a sweep. I'm calling it right now. No, I don't know about that. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. In my prayers. In my prayers. What's prayer? The incredibly powerful and practical and supernatural highway of transformation. There's a lot of different definitions that are out there, but this is the one that dropped into my heart as I was studying this word. It is the incredibly powerful, practical, and supernatural highway of transformation. Why do I say highway? There's like the going, the coming. It's back and forth. It's not just talking to God, but also God talking to us. Prayer is not a one-way street. I like calling it a highway, too, because sometimes there are accidents on the highway that can try to slow you down. This is like spiritual warfare. You're praying for something like, man, why is this thing taking forever to come? Sometimes you can even read this in Daniel, that he prayed a prayer, and then it took 21 days. He's like, I was on my way right away with the answer. But there was some conflict that was happening. There was some things that were slowing down me trying to get that answer to you, because what we see is not all there is. There's a whole nother spiritual world that is taking place right now. Do you think it's just like just your stomach getting upset or just some random things happening that are trying to stop you from becoming all that God has called you to be? Many times we're like, oh, I just got busy. You didn't just get busy. You got distracted. And many times the enemy is trying to send distractions your way to get you off track for what God has for you. There is spiritual warfare because the devil is not interested in you becoming all that God has called you to be. But I'm telling you, I'm glad you're here at church. I'm glad you're online, because today our eyes are being opened. Our hearts are receiving what God has in store for us. Praying, he says, I'm praying. This is not a small thing. We go, I'm praying for you, and we think, oh, this kind of means like, I'm thinking about you. And I don't think prayer is just, I'm thinking about you.
That's good, Pastor.
Because when you pray, when I pray, something changes. Either it changes or I change. But something is changing. Nothing is staying the same when we pray.
You have somebody, take the scripture. I think it's in Matthew chapter 5. I believe it's verse 44. I don't have it on the screen, but you can jot it down and check me later just to make sure I'm telling the truth. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus says, hey, this is what I want you to do with your enemies. I want you to love them and pray for them. Some of us are like, yeah, I'll pray for them. I pray they die. I pray that God burns them. I pray they go to hell. That's what I pray. It's like, okay. I understand. You can keep it real. You can read the book of Psalms. There's all these beautiful songs and prayers. And David's like, God, kill them. Kill them all. Kill them double time, Lord. Kill them. Put my enemies, put their face in the ground, then stomp their heads and crush them. So I appreciate him being real and honest. So you can pray some very raw, authentic, like from the gut prayers. That does not intimidate God at all. But something is going to happen. Either the enemy is going to change
or you're going to change. And sometimes there are some things that you and I are facing that God does not take that thing away. And he doesn't take it away, not because he doesn't have the power to take it away. He doesn't take it away so you and I will stay dependent upon him no matter what's coming our way. What I'm telling you and I is you, God is not done with you yet. So when I'm praying for you, I'm actually praying for you. I remember in college, I broke my finger. I think I told you all this before. I broke my finger in college. I was playing football, threw a pass, playing intramural football, and a guy came in and tried to block the pass. He hit my finger, and he broke my knuckle, and I was trying to, and in 2 weeks, there were basketball tryouts at my school, and I remember, like, oh, man, I can't, I'm right-handed. I cannot, there's going to be no way I'm going to be able to try out, you know, for the team, so... We prayed about it, and I went to this this small little Christian university, so everybody was praying for me. You know, I couldn't go anywhere. Once they saw a little cast on my hand, people were like, oh, can I pray for you? I'm like, dang, oh, man. I wanted to put my hand in my pocket because people wouldn't even let me get anywhere. These are like faith people. They're like, let me pray for that hand. And I'm like, bruh, somebody already prayed. Okay, I got to get to class. But one day, y'all, this happened to me. This is not a story for somebody. This happened to me. I am in my dorm room, my freshman year. I'm on my knees, okay? Just spending some time in prayer, just working on my heart. And I feel like my hand catches on fire. I'm not talking about something I read. This is me. I'm on my knees, and I feel like my hand is on fire. I get up off of my knees. I'm looking at my hand. My roommate's going, Earl. I'm like, I'm just backing up, looking at my hand. Earl. It's like a movie. Earl. I hit the wall. I can go, boom. All of a sudden, I can close my hand. 3 days later, Coach Self comes up to me. Hey, I heard you could play a little bit of ball. You want to come and try work out with the team a little bit? I start working out with the team. I never even had to go through tryouts. Got on the team. It changed my life. Onika wouldn't even date me if I didn't play basketball. So... She was like, I'm only dating somebody who matters, okay? So, you start? I'm like, I'm gonna be a starter too. I'm gonna walk on now, but I'm gonna be a starter. So she finally said yes to me. Kidding, but I remember God healing my, it was prayer. Now, look at this finger. Can you see this? You see how jacked up that finger is? You see how that finger, it's supposed to go straight. This finger does not go straight. I went and hooped one time when my wife was like, Earl, I don't think you should go out and play basketball today. I'm like, girl, you don't know. Let me go out there. And I went and broke this knuckle. Lord didn't heal that one. So I'm walking around like this. So I'm not saying you pray and you get exactly what you want every time you want it. That's not what happens. God has a plan and a purpose and an agenda for our lives. But I'm telling you, something changes when you pray. You're not just throwing random things up there. Husbands, I want you praying for your wives. Wives, I want you praying for your husbands. And you might feel a little bit awkward to you because you're like, I don't pray out loud. Like, I pray to myself, like, in my head. And I'm like, that's good, but I just want to push you. I want to challenge you, okay? Fellas, I want to challenge you. I bet you won't pray, punk. I'll pray right now. No, I just want to challenge you a little bit. That God wants to hear from you too. It's not just like for pastors or preachers or really, really holy people. It's for all of us here. The reality is I'm a broken man just like everybody else. It's the grace of God that has put me together. So God doesn't want to hear from me more than he wants to hear from you. So I'm encouraging you, fellas, maybe it's like I've never done this before. You're at the, you know, brushing your teeth and you're like, I'm about to do it. She's right there next to you. I'm about to pray. Dear Lord, what you doing? Praying. Lord, I ask you to take care of our day today. Deal with any situations we have. I know my wife has a thing going on at her job. I just pray you give her peace and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Watch peace fill your bathroom. Watch peace fill bedrooms. You can change the atmosphere of your dinner table. Praying changes it or you, but something changes. So when the Apostle Paul here is saying, I'm praying for you, he is saying this not just to the people at Ephesus too, he's also saying it to all of us. This is for you and I, for teenagers and for college students, and it's for those people who are tall and short, people like know a lot about the Bible, and people who are brand new to this whole thing called faith. This is for all of us. He is praying for all of us here, and the prayers that he's praying are very specific, and we're about to walk through what these prayers are. Look with me in verse number, I think it's verse 17. Oh, yeah, look at this. Verse 17. Put it on the screen for me. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So you're saying, I'm praying. God wants to give you something. He wants to give you something. Now, a lot of us are thinking, but God wants to take from me. And maybe there are some things sometimes he wants to take from you because he knows they're not best for you. But I need you to also understand that God wants to give you something. Now, this is important for us to have the right picture of God. Because if you have a picture of God, Jesus, his disciples came to him and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Jesus goes, okay, I'm going to teach you to pray. And then we know this as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, you know, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, you've probably heard that before. Jesus starts it very uniquely. Our Father. That's how the prayer starts. He's saying, how do I want you approaching God? In fear or like he's a father? I have seen the hardest men. Hardest. Get a kid, whoo, break them down. I'm tough. So I'm holding my little girl, you know, good. It does something on the inside of you. It changes you. It actually opens up a part of your heart that you never even knew was there. When you become a father, there's a part, I'm trying to tell you, you never loved like this before. You're like, oh, yeah, they told me. I'm telling you, once it happens, you're like, whoa, I never loved like this before. Then they grow up and become teenagers, and you never want to slap somebody upside the head as much. Kidding, teenagers, you're amazing and wonderful. Let's give it up for all of our teenagers. I'm thankful for you guys. You're perfect. I'm not talking about the teenagers here at Shoreline. I'm talking about other teenagers. But you never loved someone so much. Our Father. This is why when you and I have a jacked up picture of our earthly father, it impacts how we see God as Father. Because when I say to you, see God like Father, but your father was rude, abusive, cold, not present, too hard on you, or whatever it might be, you and I, because we're humans, go, God the Father must be like that. So it requires some reprogramming, if you will. The Bible would say renewing of our minds so that we can begin to see God for who he actually is, our Father. So he says, I'm praying that this Father would give you something. And I want him to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, you read that, you go, that sounds random, but this is something you want. I know it. Because I know you're like me, and you have decisions to make. You have things going on in your life right now, and you're trying to determine, okay, what do I do here? Do I sign this contract, or do I not sign this contract? Do I stay at this job, or do I take this other job? Okay, he's fine, but do I date him? She looks good, but I don't know. I've been burned before. All of us have some decisions to make. Do I buy that house? Do I not buy that house? Do I move? Do I not move? And all of us have so many different decisions to make, and you and I want wisdom in making those decisions. Now, what you and I tend to do is we lean on our own understanding. We go our own way, and we just try to, you know, map things out, do our pros and cons. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I want us to pause for a little bit and say, God, I thank you that you've given me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You're giving me, I'm looking at something, I'm a little bit puzzled by it, but I'm praying that you would give me wisdom so that I'm not looking at this thing like I'm a puppy. You know, puppy? I've got this fork in the road, and I need to know, what decision do I make here, God? What do I do? Because I don't want to mess my life up.
if you know I'm going to mess up my life, can you please tell me that this decision is going to mess up my life? Because I don't want to mess up my life. The idea, the word revelation here, the Greek word, because the Bible wasn't originally written in English, it was written in Greek. So as the Greek word here carries with it the idea of something that's there, the word revelation, but it's covered by like a sheet. And then the revelation is like the sheet's pulled off. So like what was there was kind of hidden. But then when you receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's, whoa, I can see what's actually there. Lord, give me this in my relationships. What's actually there? Because they're saying one thing to me, but something doesn't feel right. They're talking one way, but I'm like, I don't know. Do they really have my back, or are they about themselves? I'm feeling like I need to make this decision or that decision. But can you reveal to me, can you take away the sheet that might be covering that pothole or that problem or that opportunity so I can see properly here? Now understand, God does not remove all obstacles and give us all answers. The reason he does not do that is so you and I don't get to graduate from him. We want to go, oh Lord, give me all the answers so that, get out the way, Jesus. Let me take this wheel. And the Lord doesn't do that. He keeps us in positions where we are dependent upon him, so we still have to walk by faith and not by sight. It's part of our development and our growth. Do not try to become so smart that you no longer need God. If you can do everything in front of you all by yourself, then you're not living the life of abundant faith that God has called you to. He is trying to call you to places that you can't actually do in your own strength, so that you have to rely on him to get it done. But now this text says, I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. So the wisdom and revelation, some of us came from churches where there was like a spiritual hierarchy, right? It was like the really holy people. They were trying to tell you what to do with your life, you know, all the time. And you, they had a special access to God, but you didn't really have that because they had like the special access to God. I'm just telling you that there's not special access, okay? All of us have access to the Lord. So now that all of us have access, we're not trying to get wisdom and revelation so that we can somehow be spiritually superior to others. We're trying to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know him better. This is important. Now, I have been to therapy, been a counselor for 110%. I want you to hear that, okay? If you're a counselor here, love you. Keep on doing what you're doing. It is a call. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. I celebrate it 110%, okay? So that's my first thing I'm gonna say. This is not a but. This is just to give some context. In our culture, we are trying to know our trauma so well, our brokenness so well, so now we can make sense of our lives. And I'm telling you, it's okay to hear your story, your past, and why you do what you do. I think all of that is good. I have learned so many beautiful things about myself. I am thankful for it. But when I'm going to counseling, the end of the game is not for me just to know myself better. That is a self-centered Christianity. What I want is not to know me, just me better. I want the end game of me becoming who God has called me to be, to know him better. Because that's when my life makes sense. In our day and age, we are all about, you better know yourself, you better know you, you better know you. And I'm like, bruh, I know me. I don't like me. What I need is to know him, because when I know him, then I'm changed and transformed into his image and into his likeness. See, I'm not saying don't know you. I'm saying don't stop with just knowing you. If you stop with just knowing you, you are a dead end to you, because you can't save you and you can't heal you and you can't put yourself right with God. All of that happens by knowing God better. This is a quick little pivot here. I don't gamble, okay? I don't gamble. Some of y'all are like, really? No, I don't. No, no. You know, ESPN bets and, you know, what's the other ones? What's the other ones? Somebody knows. Don't stop back. DraftKings. There we go. Come on, come on, come on. Confess. I want some more confessions. DraftKings. The other stuff. I don't bet, okay, with my money. I don't do that. Now, I recognize it's popular today. It's like, okay, parlay. You know, okay, what's the over-under on Tim Hardaway? He's going to score 10 points. He's going to score more than 10 points. I don't do that. I had a friend of mine that was a big-time gambler. I mean, big time. And I mean, so much so he almost cratered his whole life. One of my dearest friends started taking the tithe checks. Like, his wife would write a check to the church, and he would, like, write over the church's name, put his name in it, cash the check for himself, take the money that was going to be given to help people, and was taking it and just blowing it at casinos. So this friend of mine shared with me his story. They almost ended in divorce, thankfully. It did not get that far. So I've already seen that, so I'm not in that. Now, some of y'all, you're like, you're kind of in. It's kind of fun. It's like, well, that's $5. I just made $657. I mean, this was easy money. And maybe you got into it because of a friend. Sometimes you start drinking because of a friend. You start smoking because of a friend. You start, y'all getting really quiet on me here. You're like, oh man, this brother, you better mind his business. I didn't come here to church for all of this. I'm just saying, who you run with, it has everything to do with who you become. Everything. The old saying is, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Right? Whoever you spend the most time with, you start being like those people. Here's a positive. Some of y'all, you started coming to church because of a friend. Yeah. They're like, I go to church. You want to pull up? Church? Yeah. Okay. And you're here today. You're like, oh, okay. They can sing. Why is that guy wearing MC Hammer pants? I don't know, but it's cool. My wife dressed me, just so you know. That's how I ended up in these pants right here. Just do what I'm told, okay? So I got a healthy marriage, happy marriage, right? Who you're around has everything to do with who you become. So I don't actually have to know what you're like. Just tell me what your friends are like. Matter of fact, if I go, kick it with your friends, I'll find out about your language. I'll find out what you value. I'll find out what your priorities are. I'll find out what you do on the weekends. I don't have to just talk to you. I can talk to the people who are your friends. Now, it's not always, you know, one for one, but you and I both know they have an impact in our lives. With that being said, the Apostle Paul is praying. I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, not just so that you know you, but so that you know him. Because when you know Jesus better and you begin to spend time with God, what happens is your behavior and your life begins to change and begins to reflect more of who God is. So why am I so patient? It's not just because I'm patient, but I've been spending time with the God who is gracious and kind and merciful. That's why I'm so patient. Why are you so faith-filled? It's not just because I'm faith-filled. I've been spending time with a God who spoke to darkness and light came even when he spoke to darkness. Why are you so full of encouragement? It's because God has spoken so much life and encouragement into me. So since I've been spending time with him, I start acting how God would act in certain situations. Now, I do not always get it right, but I want us to be a church family from the balcony to the floor to additional seating and everybody online. I don't want us just spending time with our friends. You gotta set aside some time to get to know him better. If we spent as much time getting to know Jesus as we try to get to know ourselves, I think we would look a whole lot more like Jesus, talk a whole lot more like Jesus, and we would reflect his light and his love and his hope to the world better than we are right now. Y'all with me on that? Y'all with me? I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. But keep on going here. Keep on going. Keep on going. We're going to get done. Don't worry. Maths. We got the maths.
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. I pray for the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. Can I say enlightenment is not just for hippies, okay? It's not just for those with dreads. You want to smoke some weed? It's like, yeah, I'm enlightened. No. You don't get to just hold on to enlightenment. Enlightenment here is for the body of Christ. Enlightenment is for you and I. And what we discover here is our enlightenment. We don't want us to be the end of our enlightenment. We want Jesus to be at the end. And now the Apostle Paul tells us your heart has eyes. Your heart has eyes. Now, not physical eyes, duh. But it has eyes, you know, metaphorically speaking. You know this because sometimes you're in a relationship or you're starting a relationship, you're like, my heart's kind of telling me he's the one. My wife and I love the movie Dumb and Dumber. I can't recommend it. But they're like, remember, honey, they're like, I got a good feeling about this guy. And the guy's trying to kill him. I got a good feeling about this one. And sometimes we're like, I got a good feeling about this guy. It's like, that dude is not the right dude for you. And all of us can see this, but you're like, my heart's telling me he's the one. That ain't your heart telling you that right there. Something else might be telling you, but it's not your heart. Or your heart's telling you, but the Bible says this, the heart is deceitfully wicked. So maybe your heart is telling you, but remember, your heart's wicked. Your heart doesn't want the things of God. So the Apostle Paul here prays, I want something to happen with the eyes of your heart. Because if I can get the eyes of your heart clean, I can help you make the decisions that you need to be making. Because if I don't get your eyes clean, if I don't get the eyes of your heart clean, you'll make some choices you ought not make. I already know the answer to this. Has anyone in here ever been hurt by a friend or a family member? Duh. Right? All of us have. And if you haven't yet, then, I mean, that's awesome for you. But it's probably going to happen at some point in time. And I'm not wishing that on you. It's just the way the world works. Sometimes a friend can hurt you, and it can be real small. Like, oh, okay, that was just a little thing. Sometimes it's like a shank, you know, in the liver. Got you a couple times. You're like, whoa. And it's like you're dead. And you don't want to trust. I don't want to have a relationship with people anymore. I'm keeping people out. That ain't happening to me again. No, you're not getting close to me because you're not going to hurt me. And what happens when you and I get hurt, it's almost like someone takes sand or dirt and throws it into the eyes of our heart. You know, when you get dirt in your eyes, you're like, man, and some of us are walking around like that, like, dang. At church, but really squinting. Not really trusting, because you still got the dirt. You still got the sand in your eyes. So somebody can even come towards you. Hey, man, praying for you. Why are you praying for me? Well, no, I'm letting you know I'm praying for you. Hey, man, you know, you were making that decision. I don't know if that's best for you, man. I was just praying for you the other day, and I was just encouraging you to look at it from this perspective. You trying to control me? Well, no, I'm not trying to control you, but you still... You got sand in the eyes of your heart. And when the eyes of your heart have been cloudy and infected, if you will, it messes with how you can see things. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, says it like this. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, above all else, guard your heart. Because everything you do flows from it. It's the eyes of our heart, the vision of our heart, the sight of our heart that has everything to do with what we say and what we do.
So many times, even in my own life, I'm doing something and I think, oh, I don't even notice I'm doing it. Sometimes it's a counselor that helps me see it. Sometimes that counselor is my wife. Sometimes that counselor is the Holy Spirit. But I see something, I'm like, oh, why am I doing that? I'm doing that because I have some sand in the eyes of my heart and it's making me a little bit skittish. We went on a walk the other night, Elle and I, our daughter. Where's our daughter, too, honey? Is she? Okay, all right. I was like, she was just in the front row. I'm like, she's not running around the church. But we went on a walk the other day, and we have the dog that is so cute that I'm taking care of that I knew was going to happen, and you might see him on eBay, okay? You might. He's so, so cute. It's going to be top dollar, too, because we got him trained and everything. But anyway, we're walking with the dog, and Elle and I somehow decide to play a dumb game to close our eyes while we're walking. So we're on our street, and we close our eyes while we're walking, and I mean, it's hilarious. You know, she and I are all over the place, and we're falling over the curb, and I can feel her cheating. I'm not cheating. And I open my eyes, and she's looking right at me. I'm like, Elle, your eyes are supposed to be closed right here. But we're doing this little thing, walking down the street, and I'm sure if somebody's looking at us, like, these people are crazy. What? Why are they walking like this? Why is it not in a straight line? It's because we can't see. And I think some of us, that's how we're living our lives right now. We have so much hurt or offense or difficulty or something that has been thrown in our eyes, and it's impacting how we're walking, and nothing seems to really be making so much sense. It's because we need the Word of God and the Spirit of God to cleanse our eyes out so we can begin to see things for what they actually are, because this verse tells us this: I need the eyes of your heart enlightened so that you can know the hope to which He's called you. So the devil will try to attack your hope by attacking the eyes of your heart. If he can get the eyes of your heart, then he can snatch away your hope. So some of us aren't believing for the future because of the stuff that's in our eyes right now. So I'm praying today. I'm praying for every single one of us that today is such a day of breakthrough. Like today is such a day of change. Like today's the day you're like, oh, shoot. I didn't even realize I was walking around like that. There's this story in Mark chapter 8. You can read it later. Jesus prays for this blind man. And after he prays for the blind man, a blind man opens his eyes and he says, I see people like trees walking around. He can't see clearly. Then Jesus prays for him again, and then the man can see clearly. I wonder today if some of us have been walking around, it's like, I don't see everything properly, but I'm praying today for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. The eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you would know the hope to which he's called you, because you can't live a day without hope. But the enemy's trying to discourage you in your relationships, discourage you in your job, discourage you in your singleness, discourage you in your at your school. He's trying to get you to get stuck where you are, to snatch away your hope. Because if I can steal your hope, then I can steal your life. But God is saying, no, friends, I want your eyes to be clean, the eyes of your heart to be clean, so you can know the hope to which I've called you. I put you on this earth for a reason and for a purpose. You're not here on accident. There is hope all over you. There's calling all over you. There's purpose all over you. And your job might feel like a dead end, but I'm telling you, there's hope all over you. Man, I ended, my relationship ended. I'm telling you, even with relationships ending, God has the power to give you fresh hope. Fresh hope, fresh hope, fresh hope, fresh hope, fresh hope. Don't let just the media tell you there's no hope. Whatever party you're a part of, I'm a Republican, there's no hope. The world is terrible. I'm a Democrat, there's no hope. The world is terrible. Both of them saying the same thing. Not all of them, but enough of them are saying the same. Everything's just terrible. Everything's so bad. Preachers out there, there's no hope. I'm telling you, there is hope. I'm telling you, and the hope is found in Jesus. I'm telling you, God has not fallen off of his throne. I'm telling you that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm telling you that if it's not good, it's not final, because God's final word is always good. If you're telling me that you're at the bottom of the barrel, then I can't wait to see God bring resurrection life to your mind, to your heart, to your soul, or to your family. And if everything doesn't change, then God will change you. That's the God we serve. Hope, 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 but not just hope. Let me be all done here, okay? The next thing is, I want you to know the riches of his glorious inheritance that's in his holy people. I read this. I don't have time to teach it, but let me just tell you real quick. I read this, and I was like, I always read it like I got the inheritance, but that's not reading it correctly. The scripture actually is teaching us that we are God's inheritance. Read it later. Read it slow. You, God's holy people, are his inheritance. I don't know if you've ever received an inheritance. I have not. I'd love to one day. Be awesome. Be like, whoa, you know, $1 million. Well, I guess somebody has to die in order for me to get that. So I don't really want it, but kind of, you know, it's like, I'd like for you to come to this meeting and they put your name. Oh, man, I'm so sorry, but yes. That would be fantastic. I've never received a big inheritance. This scripture is telling us that we are God's inheritance. Why does that matter? Now I don't treat you like trash because of what you mean to God. Now I don't disrespect you because I know what you mean to him. Now I recognize I'm not insignificant because I'm his inheritance. You see how it informs how you live, how you treat people, how you talk to people. It informs how you treat your employees, how you connect with your teammates. It informs how you connect with your classmates. But let me keep on going here. The last thing is this. I want you to know him better. I want you to know I want you to have a spirit of wisdom so that your eyes of your heart can be enlightened, so you can know the hope to which he's called you. I want you to know the riches of his glorious inheritance that's in his holy people. And the last thing is, I want you to know the exceedingly great power towards those who believe. Put that last verse up there for me. I think it's verse number 18 or 19. Let me see. Yeah, 19. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. His incomparably great power for us who believe. The Apostle Paul is telling us that you and I have access to more power than we even realize. As a follower of Jesus, I want to tell you, too many times I have defaulted to living like I don't have power, because it seems like I'm being humble. I don't want us to lose our humility. Keep your humility. Keep that aspect of, man, God, I'm not God. You're God. I need you. I need your strength. I need your peace. I need all of that. That's what I need from you, God. So keep that level of humility. I want that. But don't have such a high level of humility that you and I don't operate in the power that God has given us. He says, I want you to know that you have incomparably great power. What's this power like? It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Wait, what? Talk about an inheritance. Say you're walking around and, you know, you're going to Chipotle and they're like, guac is extra. You're like, man, I can't afford guac right now. Just, you know, just
put the veggies on there. Just I'm just I'll take it what it is. I won't get the guac because I don't have the money for it. But you didn't realize that you actually had another bank account that you had access to that had millions of dollars in it. So you cannot just get guac for yourself. You can get guac for everybody that's in line with you. You can get guac, so much guac that you can be swimming in guac if you wanted to. But you did not realize you had access to this bank account. I'm trying to let you know that you have access to another account that has power in it, so that when you walk into situations, you can say, I can pay for what's extra. I can believe God for miracles. I can ask him for the impossible. I can pray that this person who's in the hospital would come back. I can pray that a relationship would be restored. I can pray that God would move heaven and earth. I can pray that God would do something in the Ukraine and in Russia. I can pray that God would do something in the Middle East. I can pray that God would do something with sex trafficking. I can pray that God would do something in my neighborhood. I can pray that God would do something in my own mind. I can pray that God would do something in my family. Why? Because I have access to power. But if you and I are walking around thinking we are broke, then you will live like you are broke. But I want you to understand, you're not broke in Jesus. You have been given power, that it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Access it. Access it. Because he's the name that's above every name. He's far above every other name. The text here is taking us on this beautiful journey, opening our eyes, opening our hearts to help us become more of who God has called us to be. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with you yet. So let's stay on this journey and allow God to shape us and mold us into the men and women of God he's called us to be. Y'all with me in that? Man, bow your heads if you wouldn't mind, friends, for just a moment. Friends online in this room, friends in additional seating, bow your heads for just a moment. If you're under the sound of my voice and you have never given your heart and your life to Christ, you've never made him first, you've never made him number one, you've never made him the boss, you've never made him the ruler of your life, I'm not asking, did you get baptized? I'm not asking, like, as a kid, were you confirmed? I'm not asking, do you have a Bible? I'm asking, is Jesus Christ the ruler, the Lord, the authority in your life? Have you received forgiveness of your sins, not by your works, but by his work? If you're under the sound of my voice, you've never given your heart and your life to Christ, or at one point in time you did, you slipped away. You were like 7 or 15 or high school or whatever it was. You're like, man, I was going after God, but I just got off track. I just kind of been going my own way. And today you're saying, I don't want to go my own way. I want to go the way of Jesus. On the count of three, I want you to do something simple, but something bold. I just want you to throw your hand in the air and say, yes, that's me. I want to give my heart and my life to Christ. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Just throw your hand up. Yep, you're saying, yep, that's me. This is beautiful. We got friends all over. Balcony, floor, online, additional seating. You're saying, yep, that's me. That's me. I want to give my heart. I want to give my life to Christ. This is powerful. This is a holy moment. Families, friends, single people saying, yep, that's me. I'm going to ask everyone to do me a favor. Put your hand over your heart if you would not mind. And I want everyone to repeat this prayer out loud after me. Say, dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I admit I've made mistakes. And today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Give me the power to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you lift your heads up, clap your hands with joy and enthusiasm? Come on.